please. Turn to Mark chapter 13. Brother Jonathan, you can go ahead and show number one on the screen. There is an artist's rendition of Jerusalem during the time of Christ. Kids, what is the most impressive feature of Jerusalem at the time of Christ? What stands out to you? The temple, this great big square area over here on the far right, the far east of Jerusalem. This right here, up and over here, is the fortress of Antonio, where Jesus was tried by Pilate. Okay, Mark chapter 13, beginning, we're just going to read two verses tonight, excuse me, to begin with. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Brother, go to number two, please. Number two picture. When I was younger, I wondered about this prediction made by Jesus and what it had meant. Because I also saw pictures. Oh, this isn't supposed to be number two. Anyway, this is a close-up view of the temple building proper. And you can see that this is a very impressive area. Pilate had to build the best, the biggest and best of all the temples that had been in Jerusalem. Go to number three, please. Did I say Pilate? I meant Herod, sorry. This is Herod's temple, that picture was. So, this is the picture of what I mean of the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. When I was younger, I wondered about the prediction of Jesus because I would see pictures like this. And it looks to me like those blocks had not been torn down. So I wonder if there's anybody here like me tonight that has wondered about that before. What did Jesus mean? If all those blocks were going to be torn down, why do we still have blocks, bricks, still standing one on top of another from that time period? How was Jesus' prophecy fulfilled when Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed in A.D. 70? Let me give you a bit of history of Herod's temple. This temple building, this great big structure, was only supposed to be an enlarging and beautifying of Ezra's temple or Zerubbabel's temple. It had been built in the 500s B.C., and it was still standing in 20 B.C. And Herod decided to beautify it and grand it up. Now, Ezra's temple was a little wider. You can go to picture number four, Brother Jonathan. Ezra's temple was a little wider. This is Solomon's temple. And this is Zerubbabel's temple redone by Herod the Great. Now, Solomon's temple was the smallest of them all. Zerubbabel's temple was a little bit wider and a little bit longer. But as you can see, and it looked very similar as far as structure. It was very similar to this. It had the high middle area, the low sides, and then perhaps the higher front. But Herod built the structure far higher and bigger, and the courtyards were increased tremendously. It was supposed to be a beautification. And it started, the building of it, excuse me, haven't coughed so much all day. The building of it began in 19 B.C., the rebuilding of of Ezra's temple began in 19 B.C., during the 18th year of Herod the Great's reign. The entire structure of Ezra's temple, or Zerubbabel's temple, was torn down brick by brick and reconstructed on a grander and more costly scale. Go to picture number five, please, sir. So this is an artist's rendition of the temple rebuilt. This is Herod's temple now reconstructed. The actual temple building itself, so This right here is the actual temple. Everything else is just walls and buildings around the temple. The actual temple building itself was rebuilt in the first 10 years. So by 9 BC, that building was standing. It was rebuilt in the first 10 years, and the enlargement of the Temple Mount went on around it. Go to picture number 6, please. The only wall that was not moved was the eastern wall, this wall here. This is the only wall that was not moved. But it was enlarged, lengthened. This right here is about the old temple wall boundary. Okay? So it was moved from this point down to here, and from this point up to there. The rest of the walls, as you can see, this used to be the southern wall. It's now here. It got moved to the western wall, got moved to there. The northern wall got moved all the way up to there. That's approximate. We don't actually have the size in the Bible of Zerubbabel's courtyard. When it was finished, the temple complex encompassed a staggering 35 acres of land, twice the size of the largest temple complex in the city of Rome itself. So this was a huge complex. When Jesus visited for the Passover during the first year of his reign, during the first year of Jesus' ministry in A.D. 27, he was told that it had taken 46 years to complete what he saw. Okay? But the completion of the temple, it wasn't done when Jesus saw it. We don't realize that when we read that. Jesus said he would rebuild the temple in 3 days. And they said, whoa, 46 years has this structure been in building, and it's not done. If you can build it in 3 days, go ahead, finish it, would you please? It took 46 more years. 46 to 47 more years after Christ had been there on that day to complete the temple. So when they thought he was referring to the temple building, yeah, that's amazing. Please complete this for us, Jesus. Anyway, they misunderstood. Of course, he was talking about his body. The finished dimensions of the courtyard, from the courtyard here, the finished dimensions of the walls, when it was all done, the western wall was 1,590 feet. The eastern wall on the other side was 1,536 feet. The southern wall was 912 feet. And the northern wall, 1,035 feet, which was, again, far bigger than Zerubbabel's courtyard and walls. His may have been about 1,000 by 700 or so feet. Again, we don't know that for sure, but it was probably close to that. Notice, though, again, this prophecy of Jesus in Mark chapter 13, verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? Wow, look at all this stuff that has been built. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now he is referring, notice the very first statement that he says, Seest thou these great buildings? He's talking about buildings. He's talking about this structure. He's talking about anything that is standing up above where he's walking. Okay, a building, the word building, according to the Greek, it's a structure you could enter. It's a structure you could enter. You cannot enter the foundation. You cannot enter the pavement. Okay? So when he says buildings, he's talking about anything that is sticking up above what he's walking on. Those are buildings. He says, see all these buildings they are building? That's the literal interpretation of what he said there. Seest thou these great buildings? The word buildings there, I forget, I should have written it down, but it's two words put together. It's building and it's to be built. So they are building buildings that are still to be built. Seest all these buildings that are to be built still? He's saying, there shall not be left one stone upon another. He was referring to interable structures, a building a person could walk into. He was not referring to foundations. A foundation is not a building. It is the underneath part of the building. You can't get into the foundation. So in AD 70, the Romans destroyed the temple. They destroyed the temple, all the buildings, the walls, everything, all the way around it. They even tore down one third. And by the way, we're behind one page. Go to picture 7, please, sir. Okay. Which one's picture 7? Did we skip one? Go back one picture, please. So this is again the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. They destroyed one third, all the way down to this row of stones here, I believe. All the way down there, the entire complex and the foundation. Now, the Wailing Wall, this wall, it's part of the Western Wall, and it is intersected by Wilson's Arch. You can see Wilson's Arch here, the arches. This is called Wilson's Arch. This was still part of the walkway. It was a bridge that led from the city of Jerusalem down here up into the temple complex, which the floor of the temple complex was right here. Or so. So it was the Wailing Wall. It's part of the Western Wall, but most of what is standing there today has been built since the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. Now, this portion of the wall made up the foundation from here on down. This portion of the wall made up the foundation of the temple platform or the temple complex. That means, kids, if this is the foundation, all the buildings are above it. Right? All the buildings are above that point. What was left of the whole thing? Go back to picture 9. Picture 9. What was left of this whole thing? Boy, I must have gotten my number wrong. Picture 8, please. All of this was just a few rows of stones right here. This is the Western Wall. This is Wilson's Arch, which it's mostly underground today. And we only see about this much of the Wailing Wall that's left. Everything else was totally destroyed or it's been buried. But everything above that spot was totally torn away. So, we can have today what remains of the Wailing Wall and still understand and know that the prophecy of Christ was fully fulfilled in AD 70 under the orders of Titus. Go forward one picture now. So this is the picture of the Wailing Wall again. You see that the first 7 stones are the Herodian stones, the Herodian ashlar stones. This was all that was left when the Romans left the city of Jerusalem. But this was the surface where they walked on the other side of this wall. This was the Temple Mount surface. The Romans destroyed three entire courses, well, of course, everything above that, but 3 entire courses of stones that were the foundation of this wall. Jesus said all the buildings are going to be removed. All the buildings are above this point. They're totally gone, all the way down to here. So we can have this wall, and Jesus' prophecy is still fulfilled. All the buildings are gone. There will not be one... See all the buildings that are here? There will not remain one stone upon another that should not be torn down. And then these were added later. These 4 courses were added by the Umayyads from the 600s A.D., and then the Ottomans added the 4 courses. And then the Ottomans added all these little tiny stones later. And then the Sunni Muslims added a few layers at the top. So Jesus' prophecy came true. Every part of it was true. We can have this artifact, if you will, the Wailing Wall from Herod's time down here. This portion of it is from Herod's time. We can have that today, and Jesus' prophecy is still true. What else can we learn from the destruction of Herod's temple? Well, the final beautifications, the final finishing touches of Herod's temple were not completed until A.D. 63 or 64. A.D. 63 or 64. That's a long time. Herod had been dead for many, many, many years, approximately 60, by the time the temple was finished. Would you try to begin something that is not going to be complete? You know it's not going to be complete until well after you are dead. Would you begin something like that? You aren't going to see the finished product. You really won't know the grandness of it. You won't get to see it. Would you start something like that? Remember, Herod was already into his 18th year of reigning when he began this monstrous project. He knew when he started it that it was far too big of an undertaking to ever get it done in his lifetime. He knew when he started it, I'm going to die before this gets done. Would you do something like that? Well, guess what, parents? You and I do. Do you realize that is what you are doing when you teach your children the truths found in God's Word? You are undertaking something in their lives that will not be complete, usually, until well after you have gone to heaven. Turn with me to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. You're going to be in heaven before your child's story, your child's walk with the Lord here on earth, has been completed. So you won't get to see the final product. You won't get to see what your labor, and again, that's usually, if you, Lord willing, die before your child dies, you won't get to see the end result of your training. Psalm 78, verse 3 and 6, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So when you teach the Bible to your kids, parents, you're starting something that is going to go on for a long time. You're not going to see the end of it. And not only that, you only have a short time. You only have a short time in which to get the Bible teaching into your children before the blueprint is set, before the blueprint is sealed, and they begin building on it. Oh, what a short time we have. Don't waste any time. Don't let any day go by that your children are not being fed the Word of God in some form or fashion. We want our generations to come to know God, the generations to come to serve God. We are starting that by teaching our children today. So yes, some of us would do such a thing, and I hope and pray that young people, when you grow up and you have a family of your own, you will do the same thing. You would attempt such a massive undertaking for God to teach your children the truths of God's Word. Secondly, what else can we learn from the destruction of Herod's temple? Well, as we've already mentioned, the final finishing touches to the temple complex were not completed, until A.D. 63 or 64, somewhere in there. This means that the temple area was under constant construction for over 82 years. Wow. 82 years from 19 BC all the way to AD 63 or 64. Also, we mentioned already that Titus destroyed the whole thing in AD 70. If it's completed in AD 63 or 64, and it took 82 years to build, and then Titus destroys it in AD 70. Somebody tell me how long it was actually finished. How long was this grand, huge structure How long did it get to stand complete after it took 82 long years to build? 6 or 7 years. Oh my goodness. 6 or 7 measly years. So, this monument to Herod's greatness stood completed for only 6 or 7 years after 82 years to build it. And then every building was completely razed to the ground by Titus, General Titus, in AD 70. Wow. That raises a question. What are you spending your life on? Herod, of course, he didn't know. He had no idea that the Romans would go to war against the Jews and destroy his great building. There was no way for him to know that. But, wow, it's like God said, no, you're not going to share my greatness, Herod. You think you're going to build the grandest temple that ever stood? No, you're not. I'm going to wipe it off. I'm going to wipe it off the face of the earth. But what are you and I spending our life building or working on? Will they last forever? Or will your life's work, when it's all said and done, and it's time to go home and be with God, is it going to look like that? That's my life's work. An old pile of rocks. That's all that Herod has left. This little... Of course, he has other things that he built, but as far as this temple complex, those 7 stones on top of each other are all he has left. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What are we spending our life doing? Yeah, I know that we have to go to work and we have to make a living and we have to teach our kids school and we have to do this and that and the other. But when it's all said and done, have you done something that is going to last for eternity? And yes, our kids are going to last for eternity. So what we put into them, that's invaluable. But what about the rest of our lives? We go to work, put in 8 hours, and slave away. Sometimes we put in 10 hours, slave away for somebody else. I sure hope we're each doing a good job for that person. Because we're supposed to. But does that count for eternity? Well, not the work itself. It sure doesn't. But the conversations that we have with others sure could. We sure could be a testimony on the job. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, God is going to put our works to the test in the final day. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But, notice, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. He's talking about the foundation in your life that is already laid, the foundation of Jesus Christ that was laid by faith. He says, you take heed how you build in your life. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So first of all, he says, don't attempt to tear up the old foundation. Don't attempt to lay a new foundation. It can't be done. Your life will be in ruins if you attempt to do that. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What's this talking about? This is talking about all of our works at the judgment seat of Christ are going to be put through the fire of God's word. What was done for Christ, what was done to the glory of God, what was done that had eternal value, it's going to come through the fire. It's what he calls here gold, silver, precious stones. It's the things that will last for eternity. And those things are going to be put through the fire and they're going to be refined, so that we will see just how beautiful those actions really were for the Lord Jesus. But not only those actions are going to be put through the fire, all of our works are going to be put through the fire and tried. All of our works are going to be put through that furnace. And those actions of ours that we have done on earth in our lifetime that were for ourselves and not for others and not for the Lord Jesus, He calls those works wood, hay, and stubble. And of course, wood, hay, or stubble can burn. Stubble, by the way, is not the rocks. Stubble was the remnant of the feed. It wasn't hay. It wasn't much of anything. But it was still plant matter. It was just stubble. It's feed it to the pigs, kind of thing. It's going to burn too. So all of our selfish works, all the things that we've done for ourselves, all the money that we've saved up for ourselves, it's going to go through the fire and out comes the ashes. There's nothing left. It just is dissolved. And so many Christians are going to be shocked how little bit comes through the fire of God's holiness. All their works are going to be shown, not all of them necessarily, but most of our works are going to be shown to be centered in selfishness and self-righteousness. And so few are going to have been done in the name of Christ. There are going to be so many Christians ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. That, why didn't I do more? Why did I do that for myself? Why, oh why, did I do that? So as we look at this building, Herod's temple, what are you doing that's going to be burned up? What are you doing that's going to be destroyed one day? And what are you doing that's going to stand the test of God's Word, stand the test of His holiness? Is there things in your life that you're going to have left over? Is there going to be a crown that you can cast at Jesus' feet? And it's not for our glory, by the way. Remember that. The rewards we get in heaven are not for our glory. It's not because we are so great. He gives them to us out of His goodness because He gave us the ability, the health, the strength to do whatever it was we have done. He gave it all to us. He gives us a reward for our faithfulness, which is the main reason that we get a reward is for our faithfulness. But because it was all because of His working in our life that we were able to do it, we're going to give it right back to Him. We're going to give it right back to Him because He's the only one worthy of such reward. So what are we doing in this life that's going to stand the test? Are you going to have some gold, silver, and precious stones come through that fire? Or is your life, as it were, going to be consumed? Oh my, I've got nothing left but a pile of stubble, pile of rocks. It's all burned. God is going to put us to the test one day. Have you been serving God? Have you been serving God? Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your Word. I know this is a short lesson tonight, but Father, it's an important lesson. One that each one of us needs to learn. And I pray that the kids would remember it because of something would stick in their mind. A picture would stick in their mind. A statement would stick in their mind. Father, I pray that You would instill in these young people the desire to serve Jesus, the desire to do what is right, the desire to have something to give back to Jesus at the last day. Lord, I pray that You would bless each of these young people, bless the adults too, Lord. I pray that we would be faithful in serving You as we go out into the world each day. Father, I pray that You would bless each one's work. And Lord, may it be work that will stand the test of Your Word in that day. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.